Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly before God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I wasn't going to preach on this, but there are some things that happen. And so, Mr. Lee Vega gave us a good example of something we're not supposed to do during this time. That's all right. How many of you know what word it is that we're not supposed to say all throughout Lent? You know the word? What is it? What letter does it start with?
H.
What was it?
H.
What? I can't hear you. Yeah, we don't say the A word in Mass until Easter, okay? We keep that A word, we bury it, we put it aside because we want to save it for a time when we're going to be able to glorify God with it all the more. So it hurts not to be able to say it sometime. Unfortunately, Lee, you're the one who gets to be the example this year for it. So I was surprised that nobody did it the first week of Lent. So it was really good. We almost made it through, but that's all right. There are a million things that I want to talk to you about here in this passage. It's so rich, the gospel is, so is the Old Testament reading here from the prophet Jonah, chapter 3. This is after he got spit up on the beach by the whale. But what I want to do is I want to hit you one important thing right here. Think about it for just a moment. Put yourself in that town in Nineveh where everything was going wrong, where people were being very evil toward one another. They were not just being mitoteros or telling gossips and things like that. They were actually doing grave, immense evils all the time. And what was most disturbing here was that they were treating others like they themselves were beasts going at each other. It's interesting here how they proclaim a fast. Not only at the preaching of Jonah does everybody put on sackcloth and ashes. Have you ever put ashes on? I hope you have. If you went to Ash Wednesday service, you got some ashes put on you. That's what they did here, and that's why we do it. So they put those ashes on. Not only did they do it for themselves, for human beings, but they put them on little animals. Beasts of burden, all their cattle, all their pets, everything. Why did they do that? Do you know Jacob? No. Can you think of why that they might have put ashes and sackcloth even on their beasts? That's never struck anybody as interesting? You never interrogated that? Well, today you're going to know the answer. This is why. When we go to confession, what are we told we have to confess? Above all, your confession is invalid if you don't confess these sins. What sins do you have to confess? Huh? Mortal sins. That's right. Say it loudly. You got to confess all your mortal sins or else it's a worthless effort because you're not forgiven if you intentionally hide your mortal sins, even just one of them because you're embarrassed or whatever. You got to give them all. So they're not just taking care of big things, they're taking care of really little things, aren't they? Even their little pet cats, maybe even their little pet rats, covering them with sackcloth and ashes. Well, what does that mean? What they're doing is they're saying they're repenting even of these small things that everybody else would say is insignificant, which maybe isn't even that important to everybody else. They're making sure that everything that could have committed any sort of evil is in mourning. That's what we're supposed to do when we go to confession. Yes, we have to confess all of our mortal sins, but we should confess our venial sins because those are infinitely hurtful to God. And when we confess all of our sins, when we put them before God, what happens? Just like it said in that psalm response, a heart that is contrite, a heart that is humble, a heart that doesn't think that things are insignificant or unimportant. That kind of heart is the one that God shows mercy to, one that God brings healing to, the one that God brings restoration to. And that's what we want in confession. That's what God wants for us. Not just to set us free from big things, but also from things that we think are little that keep tripping us up time and time again, day in and day out. So I want you to do something. This evening, when you get just a little bit of free time, maybe right before you lose consciousness and drift off into slumberland, think about one sin that's small, that's really tripping you up, and ask God for the grace tomorrow not to fall into that same sin. I promise you, if you do it and you make a strong effort from your soul to do so, even at that last waking moment, tomorrow you're going to have the grace to avoid it better than you did today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.